Today we're going to be reading from John chapter 2. This is the reading for Friday, March 27th. Beginning in John chapter 2 and verse 1. On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast." So they took it. When the master of the feast tasted the water now become wine, and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." This, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. After this, he went down to Capernaum with his mother and his brothers and his disciples, and they stayed there for a few days. The Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple he found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons, and the money changers sitting there. And making a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and oxen. And he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And he told those who sold the pigeons, "Take these things away. Do not make my father's house a house of trade." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." So the Jews said to him, "What sign do you show us for doing these things?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking about the temple of his body. When, therefore, he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs that he was doing. But Jesus, on his part, did not entrust himself to them, because he knew all people and needed no one to bear witness about man, for he himself knew what was in man. We're going to leave it right there and make a few comments for our reading for today. So verse 1 starts out with saying, "On the third day." I think this is referring back to chapter 1 and verse 43 when he decided to go to Galilee. So if that is the case, then third day would be referencing how long it took them to travel there. And so they come to this wedding, and his disciples, which he has just called, are coming with him. So the mother of Jesus makes the request, or makes the statement, rather, in verse 3, "They have no wine." And Jesus says to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me?" Now, I realize that in our modern language, if you address someone this way, "woman," that it's probably going to be a derogatory way to address someone. But here, that's not the case. It's not a derogatory statement that Jesus is making. There's no disrespect that he's showing toward his mother at all. But he does answer her and makes that statement, "My hour has not yet come." Verse 5, she says, "Do whatever he tells you," over to the servants. So my assumption is that she is expecting that he's going to do something about it. She has an expectation there, and he does end up fulfilling that expectation, as we see verses 6 through 12. So sometimes we have a lot of questions about the wedding at Cana here and turning the water into wine. I will try to address a couple of those, but I don't want to get too deep into this for just a recording for a daily reading. Sometimes we wonder, well, did Jesus only do this because his mother asked him? Perhaps it may be that that was the reason, or rather the only reason, that he really did this. However, when we consider the purpose of miracles being to provide a testimony of the one who is speaking or to cause belief, we find that that actually does happen here, that his disciples do believe in him. We see that in verse 11 when it says his disciples believed in him. So it's not necessarily that this is some superfluous miracle out there that Jesus did without it lining up to what the purpose is for other miracles. It does accomplish that same purpose, even if it is only amongst his disciples. And I would include the servants as well, because they brought that water that has become wine over to the master. And it says the servants who had drawn the water knew where it came from. So it probably caused some belief in them as well. When we consider the wedding at Cana, it almost seems out of place when we're talking about the calling of the disciples, and I think that's why people have a lot of questions. I don't necessarily think it's out of place. John obviously had a reason for including this in the account. Remember, when we started, we pointed out that John's entire purpose in writing his account of the gospel is that you may believe. So this is a miracle that was performed. It did create belief, but it's also the very beginning. It is a little bit of the story of how these disciples are called, and then their first witnessing of the things that Jesus did that they're going to carry forth at a later time. Now, when we come to the Passover of the Jews, Jesus going up to Jerusalem, he finds in the temple those that are selling oxen and sheep and pigeons, and you've got the money changers. The money changers, as far as I can tell, they're changing currencies, probably from Roman currency into a Jewish currency in order to pay the temple tax. And it's not necessarily that it was wrong that anybody was selling oxen or sheep and that there was money changers. The problem is the situation that has been created here. This is not actually in the temple, but this is the court of the temple. So this is the outer part that you would enter as you're approaching the temple. And it's not a place that was designated to do this activity. If you're going to purchase oxen or sheep, or you're going to purchase your sacrifice, if you need to change the money that you're carrying, that needed to be done in the marketplace. It was probably out of convenience that they thought, hey, let's bring these transactions closer in. Or maybe the merchants made this decision, hey, let's move it over here and make sure that we get the business that the Jews are buying these items. I want to make sure that I get involved with these things. But the point is that Jesus says, you're taking the Father's house, the temple that is supposed to be for the Jews, the place that God dwells, they're making that a house of trade. They're corrupting its spiritual purpose. And so even though they were allowed to purchase their sacrifices, that was not the issue. The issue was that they're bringing this onto the temple grounds, and so they're corrupting what's going on there. They're changing the focus. This needed to be done in the marketplace and not be brought into the house. And so there's nothing wrong with Jesus making this whip of cords, driving them all out of the temple. The point is that this zeal for the spiritual purpose of the temple and the purpose of the day, the Passover, is what drove Jesus to this particular set of actions. Of course, the Jews in verse 18, what sign do you show us for doing these things? Again, they're asking for the source of authority. They're saying, who are you to walk in and then change what's going on here? You're not one of the priests. You're not the high priest. So you must have some spiritual authority for this. So they ask for a sign. But Jesus answers them differently than they expect. He answers them with a prophecy of the end of his ministry rather than what is going on at the beginning. And he says, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. And John gives us the thoughts to connect this to the end when he makes this statement, verse 21, he was speaking about the temple of his body. And while most of us are already thinking in that term when we read this statement, destroy this temple, in 3 days I will raise it up, John is making that connection because he is writing this gospel account for the benefit of those who perhaps don't believe at this point. So he's making a connection with this prophecy for the benefit of those who are beginning their belief. And so verse 21, verse 22, John puts these together, makes some explanation so that we understand this is a prophecy and it does get fulfilled. And so then, verse 23, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs that he was doing. So there's probably some more things that are going on, but we've talked before in our classes that if everything, absolutely everything that Jesus did was accounted for, written down for us to peruse through, it would be a massive account. It would take us forever to get through it. And so John is paring this down to the events that the Spirit inspires him and sees that are important to create belief. But we do have the effect of these other events that are going on. Many believed in his name when they saw the signs that he was doing. Verse 24, but Jesus on his part did not entrust himself to them because he knew all people. I would like to think that in the beginning here of his ministry that people are not quite as jaded and don't have as many ulterior motives as we definitely see later on, especially from the scribes, the Pharisees. But Jesus is saying he doesn't associate quite to the point that maybe they would want him to do at this point. Maybe because he sees something that we don't yet see. But he begins to do the things that we're familiar with, showing signs, begins speaking, and this is going to benefit us as we continue our reading, and it certainly benefited those of the time. So this is really the first introduction, if you will, of the disciples into the ministry of Jesus, beginning to witness the things that would build their faith and help them to understand him, but also so that they might bear witness. They were to witness all these things so that they could be his apostles and be sent out into the world to share that witness later about Jesus being the Christ and him being Lord and being the sacrifice that brings the forgiveness of sins. So that concludes chapter 2 of the book of John. Tomorrow we will continue with chapter 3, talking about Nicodemus, a very important passage for us to consider. I hope this has been beneficial to you. If you have any feedback, please feel free to contact me and provide that feedback. If you have questions, you can email them to me, Daryl@OaksWestChurchOfChrist.com, and we'll be happy to try to answer some of those questions. And again, for those that are members of the Oaks West Church here in Burnet, we ask that if you become ill or if you have some need during this time of isolation, please make it known to us. Contact one of the elders or one of the deacons so that we can pray for you and we can try to help you out in some way. Thank you, and God bless us all.